Hi, good evening. It's Joan.
Hey, Joan.
Hi, Miss Joan. Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Carl.
Hey.
I'm actually a little late, so I am walking across 110th Street. I'm about a block and a half from my home.
All right, no worries. We can hear the traffic, but that's okay. It's good.
Yes. I could use my headphones, but I think it may not be clear enough.
No, it's fine. Very good. I'm not sure if Michael's jumping on. Let me just text him real fast.
Okay.
Are you joining us on the call? Let's see what he says.
Yeah, it'll get quieter as I get closer to my home. In fact, I just got off the subway.
Okay. All right.
No worries. You're fine.
Yeah, we're good. So, while we wait for Michael's response, you can also do this while you're walking. Let's invite everybody to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
We'll transition from the activities of the day to the present moment, to the eternal now, the generous now. And let's bring our attention to ourselves, because your goals and dreams deserve your full attention. So we're going to turn off the traffic in the background. We're going to tell everybody to get off the street. We're going to keep the door of this room closed. And we're going to focus right here, right now. We spend so much time dealing with what's coming at us. We spend relatively little time trying to seek paying attention to what's seeking to emerge and come from us and through us. So we're going to put our full focus right here on you today. So grab Joan, you can't grab a pen or paper. It's probably worse than texting while walking. It's probably writing notes with a pen and paper. So
trying to walk. I'm trying to write notes.
Yeah.
But I'll be in the house very shortly. So.
Yeah, no worries. So let's jump right in. So last week we have to still record. We still owe everybody that lesson from last week. So love week four. And so we're going to record that because we actually leave tomorrow. We're heading down to Virginia, and we're spending 4 days with Mary and her crew. So we're looking forward to that. So it's just been a little bit crazy. Yesterday was Caroline's birthday.
Oh, so, happy birthday, Caroline.
Thank you, lovey.
So we were celebrating. And so this month we are exploring mastery and transformation. How wonderful is that? I think
I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Caroline shares my father-in-law's birthday, and
ah.
He is quite a personality. Very strong. He just turned 92, and believe me, he's a force to reckon with in a wonderful way.
Gotta love those Geminis.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry for digressing.
No, not at all.
We're very outgoing and happy, and we're the life of the party.
and very clear about values, what's important, and reading people.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
That's awesome.
Well,
wish him a happy belated birthday from me.
Okay, I absolutely will.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Gemini power. Absolutely.
Yes.
So before we dive into our first week in the Mastery of Transformation, let's share some wins. Who has some wins they'd like to share? Let's celebrate those steps, those milestones, no matter how big or how small. Let's celebrate.
I have a win about being very much in the present. You know, really moving more and more and more to being absolutely aware of my thoughts, where they're going, where my attention is, where I'm placing it. And I'm really seeing the difference. You know, it's like not letting my, bringing it back. also in terms of like strengthening my vision and picturing it and practicing it. I'm really like in a very, very, very different place than when I was where I was 2 months ago.
Oh,
three
wow.
months ago.
Fantastic.
That's good. That's really good.
That's awesome.
Did we, I think we just lost her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her call just dropped. So she's probably transitioning into the house, into the building.
Yeah.
So she'll be on again. Oh, there she comes. Oh, are you back? Can't hear you. We see you. I see you on the panel, but I can't hear you. We can't.
Maybe her mute's on.
I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. I touched the mute button.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, she's back. All right.
Yes. I was trying to mute out the background sounds.
Okay. Oh, okay. Good. 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 So, so that's really good. That's good that you're noticing that. You know. And you know, I think it's just it's important to note that, you know, even though you're reaching this awareness and this, you know, being very much more in the present, being aware of your thoughts and all of that, that work started several months ago, you know, when you were going through the Dream Builder program, because you're laying down the rhizome system, you're laying down a root system. And now, you know, your roots have been growing for several months now. And then it gets to that place where, boom, you're going to start to see the growth above ground. And so this is when you start to harvest that work. So that's really good. That is really good. So how does that feel? She must have muted again. So we'll continue. She's still on. She's still on.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I heard everything. I was saying that I feel like celebrating, and I'm celebrating even as I'm doing the work.
Oh, good.
And yes, you're absolutely right. This has been a culmination. It's not just the past couple months, but it's been since we started back in November.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I'd love that.
This is what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Caroline, well, is apart from celebrating her birthday, another year on this planet, she has some good wins too, right?
Yeah, about my liver enzyme is almost normal.
Yeah,
they've come way down, which is fantastic, and. Signed up a new nutritionist, and another one will be joining us in another week or so. So that's always good.
And you also
for
took
in the Kangen business.
Yeah, in the Kangen business. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you also took a class this weekend. That was a
big step. I forgot about that. Yeah, and I did a Quantum Touch energy healing workshop.
Ooh,
and
yes.
I'm getting certified in energy healing, and and then after that I'm going to probably get certified in the biofield healing immersion as well. I'm really loving the energy work, and it's so powerful, it really is, and I'm just understanding more about our work and just deepening our knowledge of how powerful we are, you know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I've been reading, and actually I'm more listening on audiobooks, but very intently to the books by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Oh, yeah.
I love them, really. I love the material. I love.
Which one are you reading?
I just finished. I read that, and I just finished You Are Supernatural.
Oh, how is that one? I want to read that.
Really powerful. He has a lot in the beginning. There is a he gives a lot of case studies, but, you know, he has to do the case studies for people to really understand, you know, and get a picture of what's going on. But it's incredible, really.
Yeah, we've been studying his work, you know, really just listening deeply. And we're actually, in September, we're going to a week-long advance retreat with him up in Niagara Falls.
So great.
Yeah, so we've been, you know, so that's my, you know, my win is really, it's I've been, you know, we've both been just meditating deeply every single day,
mm-hmm.
you know, using his meditation,
mm-hmm.
Meditating for an hour every single day. Just
mm-hmm.
really, you know, really tuning in, you know, pulling the, as he calls, pulling the subconscious mind out of the body and claiming the now, claiming our life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it just it just layers so nicely. It dovetails so nicely in the work that we've studied with Mary and all of that. It's just like, it just adds another depth, another layer to it. And we're just fascinated by it. Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm finding. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love that he's taking it, you know, that next step, you know, where he's actually,
mm-hmm.
he's measuring it. He's measuring it with EEGs for the brain. He's measuring it with EKGs in the heart. He's measuring other you know, measurements throughout the body and throughout the room
mm-hmm.
energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And he can really quantify it. He can really say, look, this is how the work is changing. The thoughts and the emotion is changing the biology.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating to me. So,
actually, that's what I find I'm finding so interesting, because it is, just as you're saying, it's layering the work that, you know, that I'm doing and we're doing. It's just layering it with another layer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're studying up.
With that scientific layer.
Yeah. Exactly. We're doing our work, we're leaning in. So we really
mm-hmm.
want to be nice and prepared and open when we spend a week with him. It'll be
right.
We're really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have lots more to teach.
Exactly. So this is the first week in transformation, and this is exactly
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about. So this month our focus is on the mastery of transformation. Transformation literally means having the experience of going beyond one form of experience or life into another. So trans meaning going across form, so being above form, to moving form, changing form. And in order to experience transformation, we must get in harmony with how the universe works. We really have to tune into these invisible laws, because it can't work our way any more than electricity can work our way. You know, if we try to make electricity work our way, we're going to get shocked. We're going to get burned. So as we move into this month of transformation, I'm going to ask you to choose one area of your life where you particularly want to experience transformation. If you knew that you could choose from an entire universe of possibilities, from God's catalog, okay, from an entire
mm-hmm.
universe of possibilities, for that area of your life, what would you choose? What would you choose?
It would have to do with my – oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead, go. What would it be?
It would definitely be with my finances, because that's really the only area that I find that I'm struggling with. With whatever that means.
So, I mean, maybe it's just the more flow of abundance, right?
Right, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the flow of abundance. So, and I think we're all feeling that. You know, we would love to have more abundance, more financial abundance. I mean, we have big plans. We have really big plans, and we would need
mm-hmm.
a lot more of that flow coming in. So, what we're going to explore today is several things we're going to talk about. So, first is the pull toward growth, the power that's breathing us. Spirit that's within us, there's always a pull toward growth. That's just its nature, is the pull toward growth. And every one of us feels a pull for growth and a contraction towards what we've known. There's always, because we live in a duality, right? So there's contraction and there's expansion. And we all feel that pull for growth, you know. And against contraction comes the pull of possibility. So we have to look at that duality. So, you know, if we have contraction, you know, we have the opposite is that pull of possibility. And so if we're staying contracted into the life that we've known, you know, if we're living the life of our past, then we're not heeding to the pull of possibility. We're not listening to that. We're staying in our comfort zone. We're staying in the familiar. And they say, even the Talmud says that every blade of grass has an angel leaning over it saying, grow, grow, grow. That's the pull of life within us, is that pull of increase, a pull of more. And to do that, we need to move through resistance. That's how we do it. We move through resistance. And we all have resistance in different areas. We have resistance in relationships, in physical wellness, in our finances, just like we're talking about. We have resistance there. And it doesn't matter what it is, just notice your resistance. And so that's an interesting concept, right? Is say, okay, well, if I don't have this abundance flowing, I don't have finances flowing in my life, where is it in me that may be resisting it? Because I had a session with a friend of ours, and she's a medical intuitive, she's a coach, she's a, you know, life mastery consultant, and it was an interesting experience because she said, and it's the same thing we teach all the time, it's the same thing we coach on, but it's good to hear it as a coach from somebody else, is that
right.
Love is all around us. The source we come from is love. Abundance is all around us. We are literally bathed in that abundance. It's just our ability to receive it. So what is that block in us? What is that resistance in us? And she said something very interesting, and I got very, you know, I heard it, I took notes, but when I got off the call, I was actually felt frustrated because it was like she said, it's not something that you can work toward. It's not something that you can, you know, do more of to get to. She said it's a surrender into. It's just a being. And so that to me, you know, from my background is like, okay, well, I have a strong will, and if I want to do something, I'm gonna figure it out. You know, I'm gonna do it. And she said, there's no figuring out, there's no how, there's no doing it. It's an actual surrender. It's literally just being. Being in the mind of God, being in the quantum field, being in, you know, infinite spirit. It's just being and being in alignment with that. So, and Wallace Wattles, he wrote a book back in 1910 called The Science of Getting Rich, and he says it's some of the hardest work human beings will ever do is just to be present, to be, you know, to have consistent, continuous thought. Holding that image with faith and purpose of what we want. It's some of the hardest work that human beings will ever engage in because our thoughts are always pulled away. It's like, so that's why meditation is so, you know, vital, really. And so, again, it doesn't matter what it is. We just have to notice our resistance. Where is that resistance? And Henry David Thoreau said something, you know, this is famous quote. He said, if one advances confidently in the direction of their dream, endeavoring to live the life they're imagining, one passes an invisible boundary. And that invisible boundary, that's the resistance. And so, you know, advancing confidently, it's like you're not, you know, you could say, it's like, oh, I'm just going to walk cockily. You know, I'm going to, like, use my ego. I'm going to be confident. No.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like, right? But it's really more of a faith-based confidence, having that unshakable faith that the power inside you is much bigger than anything, that you can achieve that dream, that image that you're holding. Because it's like when we go to the wall and we flip the light switch, we're confident the light's going to come on. It's not like we're walking with ego. We have the faith that that light switch, that when we flip that switch, the light's going to come on. And when it doesn't come on, that's when we say, oh, there's something going on. There's a circuitry problem. I need to go check the bulb. I need to check the plug. I need to check the circuit breaker. You're going to figure it out. You're going to troubleshoot it. It's the same thing with our alignment to abundance, to love, to our source, to the mind of God, to infinite intelligence, to the quantum field, whatever you want to call it. It's just our alignment with it. And so where is that resistance? So it was interesting because I felt frustrated when I got off that call. I'm like, I don't know how to do that, you know. And again, it's not a how, it's a surrender. So, and that's what I've been really allowing myself to experience in meditation. It's just opening up. And Joe Dispenza is really great at that because he talks about two types of focus. So you have convergent focus, which most meditation talks about, is focusing your mind on one point, on a focal point, whether it's, you know, your nostrils, your breathing, a candle flame, a spot on the wall, just convergent focus, like a laser. But then he also has this practice, divergent focus, which is different, which is focusing on a much broader area, actually focusing on space and energy as opposed to a spot. And he has us go through both. And you go, which is really important because if we look at the quantum physics behind it, everything is a particle and a wave, like light. Light is particle and wave. And even Einstein said, you know, the particle, the wave, the field is much more important than the particle. And yet we're focused on the particle. We're focused on our physical body. We're focused on what our five senses take in. And then, and Mary had said something, you know, and she didn't make it up. She was quoting somebody else. And she said that our bodies, our physical bodies, are inside of us. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because we think like, you know, we think our internal environment, it's inside our body. But if you really look at it, our energy field, our true consciousness, is actually bigger than our physical body. So our physical body is inside of us. And our consciousness is the wave. It's the energy. It's what's around us. And just like Einstein said, that is so much more important than the particle. And so this is what we're talking about here. So we practice convergent focus, but we also practice divergent focus. Because if we focus on that space, the energy of the space in space around us, our focus gets divergent. Because our consciousness, the eternal part of us, there is no time and space. And so we start to practice opening up our awareness in a much broader way. And it's really interesting to start exploring that. I come out of meditation and I'm frustrated again. I'm like, I get frustrated.
Yeah.
But I'm allowing that stuff to just flow through me because we're, again, like he talks about, Dr. Joe Dispenza says, pulling the subconscious mind out of our body. Stop living the past, those familiar feelings and all of that. So I just let it come up and let it pass through. So when Thoreau talks about if one advances confidently in the direction of their dream, so that's confidence meaning faith. Faith, standing firm on that faith, endeavoring to live the life they're imagining. So that's the science that we're doing right here.
Doing right.
Art and science is holding that image with faith and purpose. And the stuff that we've been studying lately, we've been studying Joe Dispenza, we've been studying Greg Braden. He was also in The Secret. And he dives into the science as well.
I listened to a couple of his talks on YouTube. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
It says it in the Bible. It says it in other and wisdom cultures and traditions where and we talk about it in dream building. It's like you have to have the image, but you have to have the feeling to go with it. He said you have to marry the two. So it's the thought and the emotion, that elevated emotion that Dr. Joe talks about. And when you marry the two, that's where the magic happens. So, yep. It's, you know, we talk about gratitude because gratitude is the ultimate form of receivership. So, you know, holding that feeling with gratitude, with love, with abundance, holding that image steady, again, it's some of the hardest work we can do, but that sends it out. And so our field is electromagnetic. That's what our field, our energy, our being is electromagnetic. So the thought is the electro, is the electricity, and the magnetism is our feeling. And so that's what's drawing it in. So we're sending the image out, and we're drawing it back to us. That's the law of attraction. And so when Thoreau talks about, you know, one passes an invisible boundary, it's the resistance. Our resistance is that invisible boundary. You know, and it's made up of our thinking. And so once we can cross that invisible boundary, cross through, press through that resistance, past the green growing edge, that's when the magic starts to happen. So that's the part, like, I'm still pressing through, and I get frustrated because, all right, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the manifestation in my life yet. But even Dr. Joe, we've been watching a lot of his videos. He said, if you can, as often as you can, if you can spend a whole day, two whole days in gratitude, holding that vision of what you want in gratitude as if it already happened, it will manifest in your life. It has to. It's physics. It's quantum physics. It has to. Because he said the Newtonian model, that's the old thinking of the way our brains and mind are made up of, is we receive something and we become grateful for it. That's the old way. But in the quantum mind, the quantum model of mind is, and we know this already, our subconscious mind can't differentiate with what we imagine or what actually happened. And so if we can feel the feeling of gratitude and see the image as we already have it, we're experiencing it now with gratitude, then it happens. It comes to us. We draw it to us. Because the quantum field just responds. It's part of that law of attraction. Our subconscious responds because it can't differentiate what's real and what's imagined. And so that's what we have to work on, is being in gratitude, being in that feeling of love and gratitude all the time. So that's the that's the resistance. That's the invisible boundary that we need to pass through. And Thoreau, you know, in the 1800s, he knew this. He knew this, you know, by that exploration.
Yeah.
You know, what he did on Walden, like his essay that he wrote about Walden Pond, you know, he built a little one-room cabin, and he said, I'm going to do an experiment on life, you know, with life. And he would get up in the morning, and he would walk down to the lake to do his, you know, washing and all of this stuff. And within a couple of days, he realized he was taking the same path, and it was cutting a pathway through the woods to get to the lake. And he said, if I'm doing that just subconsciously, I'm just doing it automatically, what am I doing in my mind? What are those?
Michael Levine.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you.
So we're talking about...
Hi, birthday girl.
She's here.
It's a birthday month.
The birthday
all month.
Month,
every
That's
day.
That's right. That's right.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. So we're talking about moving through resistance. This is the first week in the month of transformation. So we're talking about moving through resistance. And Henry David Thoreau's famous quote, if one advances confidently in the direction of their dream, endeavoring to live the life they're imagining, one passes an invisible boundary. So the invisible boundary that he talked about is resistance. It's our own resistance.
Okay.
And so if we can pass through that resistance, it's like we go confidently to the wall and flip on the light switch. We are confident. We have faith that the lights are going to come on. So that's the confidence, the faith that he's talking about. And so if we can press through that, we walk confidently, advance confidently in the direction of our dreams with that faith and purpose that we will get to that as if it's happening right here, right now, feeling gratitude. It will come toward us, and we will pass through that invisible boundary of resistance. So you can't move through resistance by trying to get rid of it. You must align with the vision of what you want to bring it in. I mean, it's like you know, pushing through, and you're pushing and pushing and pushing. And I shared earlier, I had a session with a friend of ours who's she's a medical intuitive, and she's also a life mastery consultant and a coach. And you know, we were talking about this very thing, this resistance. On like, you know, I want to be more in line with God. I want to be more in line with this abundance, this field of love and abundance that we live in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I said, oh, I want to know how to do it, because that's why we were studying with Joe Dispenza and Greg Braden and Mary Morrissey. It's like, how do you do it? And she says, you can't get to it by how. You can't get to it by willing yourself through it. She said, you have to surrender to it. You just have to be.
Uh-huh.
And when I left that session, I got so frustrated. It's like, you know, it's what I'm doing. So, but I have to notice what I'm noticing. You know, I notice the frustration. I notice there's resistance. And so I have to work through that resistance. I can't get rid of it. I just have to move through it. I have to align with the vision of what I want. And it's some of the hardest work. Wallace Waddell talks about that. Some of the hardest work human beings will ever do is to hold that.
Yep.
So right before that, we talked about the pull toward growth. That's that mm-hmm. life inside of us is the pull toward growth and increase. And we talked through moving through resistance. And then let's talk about setting the vibration. So, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, in John 1, it says, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word is a vibration. It's vibration. And vibration moves through us in two ways. So this is the art and science of dream building. The picture we're holding, so that's the art, right? We're painting that picture, and the feeling tone, that's the science. Because if you can marry, and that's just what quantum physics is talking about, it's what all of the major thought leaders are all talking about, and it's based in ancient wisdom. If you can marry the thought with the feeling, that is so powerful. Because if you think about it, the thought comes out of the mind, right, out of our brain. The feeling, it's like gut feeling, is coming out from our gut, and you marry the two where? What's in between? It's in your heart.
In the heart.
Right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, that's what it's all based on. You're taking the thought, taking the feeling, you marry the two, that's manifestation. And we're in the month of transformation, so we're talking about how to do this. How do we go about doing that in our daily lives? So that's how vibration moves through us. The picture we're holding and its feeling tone. So we need to provide rich images for your mind. We have to be detailed, as detailed as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we hold that idea with an open hand, this or something even better still. And I think all of us have already been experiencing that, because we all have this one image in mind, and we hold it. And then life gives us something even better. And it's like, wow, I wasn't even aware it could have even been better than that. So that's why we always say, we're going to hold this with an open hand, because God's point of view is a lot better than our point of view. And so he could be seeing things coming down that we're not even aware of. And so this or something better still.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, Michael, when we first met you and we're talking and, you know, you're going
mm-hmm.
through transition in your own life,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spain was never even in the radar. Wasn't even in the picture. Right?
I'm sorry, did you say fame?
Spain.
Oh, Spain. I thought you said fame. I'm like, oh.
No, not that.
Oh, okay.
Been there, done that. No, I'm talking about Mallorca.
Yes, no.
Right?
No, it was not. No,
it was not. I mean, look at that. That vista opened up. That possibility opened up. Man, that was a biggie, right? That wasn't even on the radar. It wasn't even in the painting that you were putting together. It wasn't in the frame. And so that comes along, and you're like, oh, wow, okay. Let's explore this. So it's pretty cool. And so I want to highlight what we're talking about with a story. And this story sets the stage for transformation. And it comes out of, you know, it's a story where some of us are probably familiar with. It's a King Arthur story. it's King Arthur and his best friend Sir Gawain, and Sir Gawain was his most trusted knight, and they went on a hunting trip in the forest, and when a troll jumped out and threatened the king's life. And so they made a deal with the troll that so he would let the king go. And Sir Gawain and King Arthur were given 1 year, 1 year, to solve a riddle. And the riddle was to find out what women really want. That was what they had 1 year to find that out. Otherwise, the monster would kill the king. That was the deal. So it's either you die now or you go on this quest and you find the answer, what women really want. So for the next year, Sir Gawain searched for the answer, but he found nothing. 364 days had passed. The year was almost up, and he still had no answer. So Gawain went back into the forest, and he came upon the most grotesque women he had ever seen. I mean, you could just imagine it. Pockmarked skin, warts, missing teeth, bad breath, food caked on her face. Grotesque. And he told her he had a question, and right away she knew what it was. She said, the question is, what do women really want? And it turns out that the troll was her brother. So this is the troll's sister. And he'd been asking that question to people for years, so she was very familiar with it. And she said she was the only person in the kingdom who knew the answer. Her condition for telling Gawain was that he was to marry her publicly. And after the wedding, she would answer the question. So Gawain, being in love with the king, he said, I agree. I will marry you publicly. So the next day, remember, it's one full year, the last day. The next day, there was a huge wedding and a feast. And after the wedding, when Gawain took the grotesque woman up to the bedchambers, she asked him if he was going to give her a kiss. And he stayed true to his vow, and he gave her a gentle, heartfelt kiss. And instantly, the woman was transformed into the most beautiful lady in all the kingdom. She told Gawain that he had broken half of the spell. She had a spell cast upon her, and he had broken half of it. And she said that half the day she must look like the old hag, and half the day she would look like the beauty that she was at that moment. And she asked Gawain whether he would prefer she looked beautiful when they were alone at night, or during the day when his friends would see her. His reply was that it was her choice. Now, through that answer, he broke the rest of the spell. She said the answer to the question, what do women really want, is sovereignty. By giving her the choice, the spell was broken and the king was saved. So,
oh, beautiful.
Beautiful story, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, oh, yes, I like it too.
So there's a lot of symbolism here, and we were going to dive deep into it a little bit here. So healing that separation. So Gawain was doing his very best to save the king. Now, he was really pushing. He was looking for it. He was really doing his best. He gets desperate. The year is almost up, and he didn't fulfill the promise. And he realizes that human methods are no longer sufficient. So this is also what, you know, our friend Sally told me. She said, you can't, there is no how. You can't lean into this. You can't will yourself to do it. You have to go to a different place. Human effort is no longer sufficient. So Gawain returns to the dark, scary forest to find the answer. So it's like us going inside, going into our inner depths. So he made a decision to go into that dark place. And the grotesque woman is symbolic of that least loved part of yourself, that part that's hidden in that dark place within you. And so that's what she's symbolizing. And Gawain is willing to make the unloved part public, because that's part of the deal. It's like, do you want to make it public? Or do you want to keep that part hidden? And he said, no, I want to make that public. So public in the sense that it's no longer a hidden fact, that there's a part of us that is more difficult to love than another. And so we're going to go to that dark, we're going to have to start to explore that the dark recesses of our own being. And we need to forgive and love the unlovable part in ourselves, that grotesque part, that unlovable part. We must forgive and love it. So the first stage of transformation has to do with making peace with the part of ourself that feels most unlovable. Because if we keep that hidden, that's consuming energy. That's consuming creative energy. It's consuming part of who we are, and it's hindering our transformation. So you must be willing to go to the dark, scary place. And we all have them. We all have them. So embrace a part of yourself this week that up until now you had the pattern of thinking of it as unlovable, which actually is disempowering. It takes your power away to have that unlovable part. You are loved, period. End of story. You are loved. Everything that has ever happened to you, everything that you've ever done, everything you didn't do, all of your human journey is like the one hair to the entirety, one grain of sand to the entirety of really who you are. And you are loved. And that was the message that Sally gave me during the session. And that was one of the hardest things. It's like, okay, I don't feel that love because I'm not loving who I am, who God says I am. And so that's why I got frustrated coming out of the session. That's why I get frustrated sometimes coming out of meditation in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I'm allowing myself to go into that dark, scary forest to find the answer. And to know that I am loved. To know that you are loved is to bring that love to you. And that's exactly what she said. And that was the message that I got this past week. Is to bring the love to you. Allow the love to come to you because you are loved. Receive it. You know, to all the places that you think are unlovable, allow the love in. Allow the light in. Make it public. Bring it out. Make it public to yourself first. So one of the great gifts of doing this program is the evolution of your own love for yourself. That's where transformation begins. So what are your thoughts on that?
Ma'am, I'm completely with you. And I'm completely with you on that. But it's not like an overnight thing. It's a process. It's a piece by piece, and it's always not recognizable.
Yeah.
When it does show up. And I think sometimes you just keep, you know, knowing that you're doing what you're meant to be doing. You stay in the energy and people around you of energy that you want to be, are, or keep working on, you know, whatever level that is. And it just kind of gently happens. You know, it's not reading a book and all of a sudden you're transformed.
Yeah.
It's not going to bed and waking up and all of a sudden, there's this new enlightenment. You know, I think it's just a process of being in a space where you're able to accept different messages, or to make it, you know, fundamental, just receive them.
Yeah.
When you're in a state of anger, you can't receive messages.
Yeah.
You're fighting. You're fighting for your life, or it feels like that.
And that's that.
You know, whereas when you, when you turn down the noise, messages come to you. You know, and how we turn down our noise is very, very, you know, individual. You know, mine is actually turning down the noise. Less news, less this, less that, quiet, you know, nature. Yeah, I mean, certainly not camping, you know, but nature. And, you know, and you listen.
Yeah, to listen and to be willing to receive that message.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that resistance, again, will pop up and go, oh, I'm not hearing that. Nope. talk to the hand, because the heart ain't listening.
Right.
You know?
Well, you can do as many audible books as you want. But at some point, you know, with some information or a nugget there, you know, to me and most of the people that, you know, I follow, listen to, whatever, it is in that silence that you learn the most.
Yeah. Well, they say with music, it's the space between the notes. You know, that's where music is. It's the space between the notes. It's a space between our thoughts.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to go there. Yeah.
Actually, that's really profound. It is a space between, the space in between, which is the same thing that Joe Dispenza is saying, because it's that space between that's where the information is.
Yeah.
Where the information
and the possibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The information is in the space. It's in the energy. It's in the field. It's not in this, what we see as solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Wayne Dyer said that too. He said, you know, it's the space between the notes. It's the space between our thoughts, and it's not the bars that hold the tiger in the cage. It's the space that holds the tiger in the cage. So it's just profound. It's profound.
Say that again, Carl.
So he said, you know, it's the space between the notes. It's the space between our thoughts. And he said, it's not the bars of the cage that hold the tiger. It's the space between the bars.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's, you know, holding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about unforgiveness, you know, holding the prison, you know, we are the prisoner and the prisoned. And so I think there's parts of us that in that dark, scary forest, the grotesque, unlovable parts that we're holding prisoner of our own making. The energy that it takes to hold that prison together, you know, and to be the jailer. It's a tremendous amount of energy.
I was having difficulty, like I was asking myself, how am I going to find this? You know, how am I going to let it? But you know what? The visual analogy of being in the scary forest or the, you know, the jail and all of those are the ones that help it come out, actually.
Yeah, they're good. They're good visuals.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold on to it, but it's like if I take my mind in there and see what comes up.
And we'll get to that place like Sir Gawain did. It's like it was like the 11th hour, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he had to find the answer. So he was willing to go back into that dark, scary place just to find the answer, you know. And we, you know, hopefully we don't wait till we're in that desperate situation. You know, and oftentimes we do. You know, we're pressed against the wall. We press ourselves against the wall. And then we force ourselves to find that answer, to excavate it, to bring it out. But in the lack, in the absence of that pressure, why don't we just explore that now? It's our first step. If we really want that transformation, we need to look inside. We need to look into those scary corners and bring light to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, and reach into it, and then pull ourselves out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if I can pause, you know, everyone for a second, though, in terms of that, like when you're saying it's a dark, scary moment, in a sense, but that dark, scary moment is part of you and it's part of God, and so it exists, and it's personally, how do you feel when you exhibit what anger, you're short with someone, you know, whatever behavior, you know, or your fearful of losing everything, or, you know, those fears, though. But those are, you know, but those are God, you know, God sent. And they are part of you. And I think the way to identify them is to embrace them. It's like, yeah, sometimes I can be nasty, but I don't like it. And it's becoming less and less and less because I identify it. And I'm not scared of it. I know it's a part of me, but I choose not to be there.
Yeah.
You make a conscious choice. You know, I can be used to be very, very sharp tongued. You know, I could boom, you know. But how do you feel afterwards? I wouldn't feel good. That's part of me being very quick. But that kind of, you know, interaction doesn't make me feel good. And so what I'm saying is, like, the dark and scary things, you know what? I don't even call them, like, necessarily dark and scary. There's just something that you have an awareness about that you're no longer, you know, want to have in your deck of cards. You don't want to play that hand.
Well, it's also to be willing to go into the spaces that we're not aware of. So that's part of it. It's like we become aware of it and we say, okay, we're going to make a choice. But if we still have stuff coming up, we still have stuff that, then we have to be willing to go deeper. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable and afraid and shaken.
Yeah.
To go into that space. Yeah. And then, you know, and what comes through is to lean in and be obedient and say, okay, I'm notice what I'm noticing and I'm willing to open that up. I'm willing to shine a light on it. I'm willing to let that go. I'm willing to transform. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. And that's where the healing, I think, occurs.
That's how I got into meditation. I was looking for meditation because I didn't get angry, but it was easy for me to be much more reactive. And I didn't like the feelings afterwards. This is a long time ago in my life, but I didn't like how I felt. And now I know it's, I don't know what it was, cortisol or whatever that was coursing through my being at the time. But I knew I didn't like this feeling. I had to find another way.
That's a great observation, Joan, because, you know, it takes, when you lose your temper, when you react, it takes your body close to 5 hours to bring it back into what your normal state would be. And so you really have to ask yourself, why do I want to go on that journey? Why?
Yeah.
And what am I getting at the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think it was passive. I used to think it was being passive. I'm not going to be passive. No one's going to speak to me like that. Well, you know, but that's not it, though. It's you know, and I always say this to myself, just because you're invited to an argument doesn't mean you need to attend.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes so much more skill not to engage in an argument, just to bring things down. What would you like me to know?
Yeah.
Questions like that. What would you like me to know? What do you feel I'm not hearing? Versus, what the F are you saying? What the F now? What would you like me to know?
Yeah.
And actually, that's a far better way of saying it because, you know, rather than just, what are you saying? What would you like me to know?
Well, I've said that, John. I'm going to be honest. Part of me was like, what the F? Are you kidding? First you said this, and now you're saying this. Okay, which is it? Which is it? Or do you need a minute to figure out which side you want to, you know? I mean, that does nothing.
Right.
What would you like me to take away from this conversation? And not, you know, I get it, but I hear you.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, you know what I was thinking also as you were saying it is that, so then where's the scary spot? The scary spot is that you're going to be perceived as weak. You're going to be perceived as not capable of, you know, standing up for yourself or being somebody to take serious, you know, all of those things, really. You know, like what's the scary thing there? You know,
Well, it's just, but the the upside is you're being authentic.
Well, and you're also, yeah, Carl, staying at a vibration that is your own.
Exactly.
And it's one of knowing, you know, it was a few years ago that I had a client just beat me up. She left, right, this, that, and I didn't respond to it. I didn't respond to it because, you know what, I knew I did a great job. I know my skill, and I wasn't going to get into it. And I had assistants. It's normal in Hollywood where assistants listen on all your calls. And she's like, why did you let her get away with that? I said, I didn't let her get away with it at all. It's because I know the truth. I don't need to defend myself or take the time to do that at all.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me. It has her to do with, or trust the process, trust at some point, a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't need to go bat to bat and say, are you nuts? Are you this? You bitch. You don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on a vibration that you're pure as you can be, you know, I mean, I need to run the machine and wash, you know, the plates. You know, we all do, you know, on a regular basis, you know. But, you know, you don't need to do that. You know,
yeah.
To be personal, I'm on a thing right now where someone, John, I'm going through a very nasty divorce, and it's like boom, 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 this ricochet on my character. You know what? I don't need to defend it.
No.
It's believe what you want to believe. People that want to be in that energy level aren't people that we would want in our lives anyway. So what's the loss? I mean, in fact, we should be thanking. Thank you for showing your colors. I don't like the color turquoise. And I'm seeing a lot of turquoise around here. It's made it easier for me. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, it's the law of non-resistance. You know,
I brought that analogy for Joan, by the way, with turquoise color.
Because that
was specifically meant for Joan in terms of Carl. You won't get it. You're a straight man.
I fully get it.
You know,
don't go to Taos or New Mexico.
No, I'm just making these analogies back because turquoise is coming back and brushed, champagne gold. So I'm just saying for the record, that was meant specifically for Joan and me. No one else.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I did understand. And I'm going to start sending you turquoise jewelry so you can wear.
No.
Please don't.
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you very much. I need nothing, but thank you.
Eventually, you'll find the beauty in it.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, or is turquoise going to become your special friend?
Your sacred friend.
No. That would not be me. That would not be me. No, Joan, I'm the straightest gay man in terms of picking colors and things, you know, but I get my way through it. Gosh darn it. I picked out sconces today and pendants. Pendants, I thought, went on lapels. I thought that was a pendant. I'm like, what the F are we talking about? They're like, they come down from the ceiling. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So the life work this week. So we're going to look at, again, electromagnetic, right? So we're going to look at the electric part and the magnetic part. So the electric part is your image. So choose one area of your life that you would like to transform this month. Let's really focus in on it. Create a clear and concise picture of that transformed state. Describe your transformation clearly in a single sentence. So work on this. Polish it. So that's the image, that one concise, simple, single sentence. It doesn't have to be simple, but single sentence. That's your image. So that's the electric part. And then we're going to marry it with the feeling. So we're going to step into the feeling tone of the person who is already living that life. It already happened. Because our subconscious mind can't differentiate. The quantum model of the human being, a quantum model of thinking in the brain, is that we don't have to wait for it to occur to feel gratitude. We can feel gratitude now. So who is that person who's already living that life. So what do you feel like? What do you think? What clothes do you wear? What kinds of conversations do you have? The feeling tone is what activates the law of attraction. And so we're marrying the image with the feeling tone, and we're putting them together. And that's it, sending it out, and it's attracting it back. So we're going to really focus on that one, really laser focus this month on that one part, that one area of your life that you'd like to transform. So we're really going to focus in on that. All right, so that's the life work for this week.
Carl, I'm a little fuzzy on that. Give me, if you wouldn't mind sharing, give me an example of like one thing, like, you know, could you express like an example?
Okay, so we talk about the four major domains of life, right? So you have health and well-being, you have
vocation,
love and relationships, vocation, and time and money freedom.
Yep.
So let's say pick one of those areas. Okay, one aspect of one of those areas. What part would you like to see the biggest transformation in right now, this month? That's what we're going to focus on. So, you know, like Joan
all
mentioned earlier, she
them.
Said it was her finance. It was all of them. It was, I
mean, all
of
them.
We'll get to all of
all
them,
of
but
them.
We want to focus.
Them. All of them.
All
of
them.
I don't want a limiting belief, Carl, so
right.
I want all of them.
Okay.
All of
so,
them.
So
Joan,
you're
are you with
your,
me?
Your single sentence is going to be longer, that's all. It may be a run-on sentence, but... Make sure you
have more RAM in my computer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Need more RAM in your computer.
Okay.
But it may be rambling. You may have to put a lot of commas, but just be specific. Mm-hmm. Be specific. And semicolons. Semicolons are powerful. So don't forget your punctuation.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point. All right.
Hyphen.
You can use parentheses too. So that's our life work this week. We're going to enjoy our week of transformation. So we are, like I said, we are headed out tomorrow down to Virginia. We're going to spend the 4 days from Thursday to Sunday with Mary and her crew, be back in that space again. We will miss you, Michael, down there.
Well, I'll miss you guys. But, you know, excuse me. John, I was expressing earlier about having the opportunity. I don't have children. At least none that I know of, and, you know, about bringing, you know, their children there to experience just kind of like thinking outside of the box. Just because you're not good at math doesn't mean that you can't do something with numbers. You know, just because you don't think you're creative doesn't mean you can't go work, you know, work at an ad agency. You know, so these things that we're told, and it's kind of, God, I wish I would have done this work so much earlier, you know, in terms of be what you want to be, you know, and.
Yeah, and we're bringing our kids, our three kids, we're bringing them down, and they're going to experience this firsthand. So we're excited for that. We're really excited for them to.
It'll be life-changing for them.
Yeah. Because they hear us talk about it. You know, we've been, you know, dripping on them and coaching them. And so now they're really going to be immersed in it for 3 full days. And then we also have a VIP day with Mary, just, you know, Caroline and I. So that's Thursday. So we're going to spend time with her on that. So we're looking forward to it.
That's great. Hey, I missed the beginning of the call. What was, Joan, what was your win for the week? I'm just very curious.
She might be on mute.
She might be
Is she
muted.
Still on?
I'm sorry. Yes, I did have the mute on. Sorry. Yeah, being more and more and more present and just being really clear about what I'm paying attention to and bringing my focus back and off of it. And yes, that's really been the win to the point where I'm just feeling really happy about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. It's good to hear.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Huge win.
And how about for you?
Wow, my win of the week. Kind of a tough one for me this week, and it's not that far into it. I think the win of the week is you know, stop trying to control what you can't control. It's still a hard lesson for me not to push all, you know, have all the pieces in order. And I'm waiting, like, on a big piece of news right now, and there's nothing I can do about it. And so it's, how do I deal with it? Do I, you know, create more anxiety? Do I obsess about it? What do I do? Or do I just say, it's going to be okay? Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, that's what was meant to be. And so... Mm-hmm. So the biggest win is just kind of embracing, trust the process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trust the process. And you know what? And the more energy I personally spend second guessing is really my own insecurity. Mm-hmm. It's really my own fear manifesting insecurity, and being off vibration. Being off vibration.
Yeah.
You know, and stepping out of that land of fear. So today, you know, I went for a long walk and, you know, and didn't check my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I really thought you were going to say the air fryer, personally. That's a big win.
Well, I must say...
Michael got an air fryer. Yeah. And we've been talking about
really,
it every day.
I'm a really good cook, and I decided, like, oh, this is really interesting, you know. And so I not only wanted to share, you know, my experience, but I needed them to be involved as well, you know, meaning Carl and Caroline. I've gone through the, you know, and Joan, I typically just love cooking for people. So my neighbors have been jumping up and down, like, what are you making us tonight for dinner?
Lucky neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and I love doing it.
That's wonderful, you know, that's wonderful. I bet it creates a wonderful environment for everybody.
And it creates wonderful waistline, too, right?
No, but it's healthy, Carl. It's healthy, though. You know, look, the woman next door is 80 years old, and she probably weighs maybe 85 pounds.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about the French fries.
Oh. No, it's to me, that's like, you know, food is love.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm Jewish, you know, so that's kind of how, mm-hmm. you know. God forbid you don't have a second roast in the oven, you know.
Well,
so that, you know,
the air fryer.
That's a sin.
Yeah.
But my mother would never use an air fryer. Are you kidding me? You know. And Mike, me as a trained cook, you know, don't say chef, but I'm like, oh my God, this is so like down market, and I'm loving it.
And we actually talked about having multiple air fryers so you can do a full meal and side dish.
Okay, I was kidding.
No, you weren't.
I was kidding.
You were getting the grand model, the professional grade model. I know.
Yeah, I'd put my head in it most times. No, thank you. They wouldn't sell it to me like a gun. We're not selling it to him.
He says, I want to do a full turkey in it. He wants that kind of model. Full turkey with the
white. Don't start with Thanksgiving and my white truffle turkey.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Literally, Joan, I made a white truffle turkey. White truffle turkey, you know, with the white truffle butter. And,
wow.
Yeah, you know.
It sounds amazing.
Well, it was. And the fancy supermarket where you get this, SHIT, you know, which is obnoxious how much this butter is. Ina Garten mm-hmm. had it on, and it sold out. I had to go on a waiting list. It was like waiting for, like, you know, a kilo of something that was secret and trying to get it. Like, does anyone, do you have white truffle butter? Are you going to use it all? You know, I mean, literally everyone that I know, you know, watches, I don't know if you watch her, the Barefoot Contessa, and everyone was making this white truffle turkey this year, you know, and I, you know, and part of the lesson is you snooze, you lose. I should have gone to the market to prepare. And I thought, oh, this is fantastic. Not thinking that the energy level of these people was, I'm getting it. I'm taking action steps, and I didn't take an action step, and I was on a waiting list.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, but I broke into the neighbor's house, and I stole hers. So what? Look. She's. I told you, she's 80, and like she's going to eat a turkey. I mean, she was so easy to push down and for me to grab it. It was easy. And then I told her I was just kidding, and I dropped off, like, muffins the next day in the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Cedars. We live right by Cedars. Hello. It wasn't like it was a bad idea, Carl. Don't judge me.
Oh, no judgment. Oh, my gosh.
So funny.
All right, my friends. Love you all. Have a great week, and we'll catch up and have the praise reports next week.
Okay. Thank you, and you too, and have an incredible program. I know you're going to, and I think just doing this with your kids is just amazing. It's wonderful. Yeah. What a gift you're giving them.
So we're excited.
Yeah, truly.
We're excited for them to experience it.
Truly. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I can't experience it, but I look forward to the stories.
Yeah, and we actually arranged ahead of time so they can have some private time with Mary so they can get a little meet and greet with her. So that's
great.
So they'll have some time and some pictures.
Oh, is that shooting hoops?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to go out in the back of the hotel and shoot hoops together.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get pictures. We'll shoot video.
All right, gang. Joan, always a pleasure. Makes my night. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for making
me laugh. We'll all talk soon.
All right. Love you guys.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Love you too.
Okay, God bless, guys.
God bless.
Bye.